Good morning. Can you turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah 6 and 1 to 5? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I never cease to get filled with all kinds of wonderful, bubbly things inside when I read that scripture. Isaiah was a man who had a wonderful vision. He was a prophet of the Son. Jeremiah was a prophet of the Father. Ezekiel, the prophet of the Holy Spirit. They were prophets who had a vision of God that few men these days have. It was precisely at 10:45 on Wednesday, the 6th of February, that King George VI quietly passed away into eternity. And the whole of Great Britain mourned his death. People lined the streets crying as the demurge filled the air. He was only 56 years old and in the 16th year of his reign. He was a good man, both he and the Queen, who was, we know, was the Queen Mother. And they were loved by all the people, especially for not deserting them during the war years. Their prerogative was, if it's good enough for my people, it's good enough for me. So they stayed in Buckingham Palace during the war years. And whenever there was any bombing, the following morning, they went out to walk around the houses to see who was hurt and to give them comfort. And they never deserted them during those times. Many of them were left homeless. And the Queen Mum went through the rubble to say hello and to comfort them. He was a lovely Christian man. And it was he who called Churchill to call the nation to a day of prayer just before the D-Day landings occurred. Another great king was Alfred. Alfred the Great, you know him as. Now, I know what you're going to say. He's the one who burnt the cakes. Everybody says that. And I feel sorry for poor old Alfred because he gets a bad press. But you know, you don't know perhaps too much about him, but he's the one who said, "There is only one way in which to found any kingdom, and that is on the sure and certain foundation of faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ crucified. And it is on this foundation that I am determined to build my kingdom." So Alfred was another great king. Now, King Uzziah, we've just read about, or Azariah as he was known, was also a great king. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, we are told in 2 Kings 15. He rebuilt the port of Eilat on the Gulf of Aqaba, and he restored it to Judah. Now, he reigned 52 years. and became king at the age of 16 and was probably the greatest king after David. He built the towers that are on the corner gates of the city of Jerusalem. He also dug wells for water in the desert. He had farmers that looked after his many flocks and vine dressers in the mountains. And he had 2,600 officers just to look after the mighty men that fought in his army. And he was famous all over the known world at that time. So people who knew him and knew of his stature would never even think of invading Israel at that time. People just love to live where there is no chance of war and there is every kind of food in plenty. And Uzziah provided all this. So what happened to him? Well, he began to believe his own hype. And unfortunately, when God lifts men up, this is one of the major problems they have to watch. If you're a speaker, a pastor, that's the Lord lifts up and you become prosperous, and God begins to bless your ministry, you have to watch the hype. Because some of you, dear folk, love to put pastors and teachers on pedestals, and you know we're only human like the rest of you. And we can fall. And when we fall, people have such a great disappointment or sense of disappointment. And they gnash their teeth on us. But we're only human, the same as anybody else. But Uzziah believed his own hype. And he went in to offer incense to the Lord. A job that was not his, it was that of the Levites. It was the Levites' job to serve the Lord. And he was made leprous in his forehead. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles 26, 16 to 23. He lived the rest of his life alone because something like that breaks you. But the people loved him and they wept for him as they gave him their state funeral. All Judah mourned as they did not know how his son would turn out. Remember, Israel had had a history of good kings and bad kings. Some of them had brought them into the darkest depths of occult. Some of them had been good kings, and this was a good king. And they didn't know how his son was going to turn out. His son actually turned out okay, as it was. But they were very distressed. And there was one man who was not troubled by this event, and his name was Isaiah. Let's pick up the story again in Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The rest of the world was mourning and wailing because the king had died, but Isaiah saw the Lord. Now this is what we need to get into. Isaiah saw the Lord, and his train, he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now tell me, do you have your gaze on the Lord when all around you is collapsing? The people saw the earthy, but Isaiah saw the heavenly. Now friends, this is the difference between religion and relationship. If you've got a relationship with God, when your world is turning upside down and you don't know which way to turn and all you can do is get down on your face, you haven't even got a prayer sometimes, and I've been there many times, and you just fall on your face and say, Lord, it's me again, and I haven't got any answers. Do you see him high and lifted up at those times? You see, we need to build character in our fellowship. Each one of us as believers needs to build character, and many battles do that. You're either going to sink or you're going to swim. You're either going to stand up tall or you're going to start looking at your brothers and picking holes in them. Never ceases to amaze me when anybody falls out of fellowship with us here, the first target they hit is poor old John.
What about John? There's more elders than John here. But poor old John gets it in the neck. Stand tall, face the devil, and just stand, and Jesus will deliver you. But you have to see him high and lifted up. And when you can't get a job, and when you see the Lord, is he then high and lifted up? When your world is upside down, when the car breaks down in the middle of the motorway and you're not very happy about that, how does that suit you? Do you still see the Lord as your deliverer? In fact, how do you react in these situations? Is God still on the throne for you, or have you got another? Are you one of those that go away and get upset with everybody, turn on your loved ones and chew them up? Chew everybody else up. That's lack of character. That's lack of strength. And it's lack of faith in God. You see, my friends, this is really where the rubber meets the road. This is where you find out whether you're really a Christian or not, a believer or not. He is no ordinary king that we serve. These are the guys we've just talked about, were great guys, great kings, great men of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We can all say that, can't we? Well, come on then. I thought some of you had gone to sleep. Some of you have. I know my preaching was bad, but I didn't think it was that bad. He is kindness itself. He doesn't want you to fail. Why would he go to the cross if he wanted you to fail? He wants you to succeed. He can keep you and feed you all the days of your life. Why? Because he's God. He can house you, he can keep a roof over your head all the days of your life. Why? Because he's God. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Isaiah said, and nothing else. I saw the Lord. On the day Diana died, I saw the Lord. That's why I wasn't wailing with the rest of the country outside Kensington Palace and Buckingham Palace, because I saw the Lord. It wasn't the end of my life. My life is safe with Christ in God. She was a lovely lady, but she had a lot of problems. And when her world turned upside down, she turned to mediums. But my life is safe with Christ in God. And that's where I rest my case, as they say. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." That's why we're battered. We're as lambs to the slaughter. Every day, all day. And the more of a believer you are, the more of a lover of souls you are, the more pressure you will get. And that pressure is conforming you to the image of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He is making you like unto Jesus, the King and author of our salvation. You find that scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 11. Like Isaiah, I see the Lord, and he is high and lifted up. Don't ever bring him down to earth. Familiarity breeds contempt, you know. We can talk, I've heard people talking about Jesus this and Jesus that. I've got a friend actually who continues to talk about Christ as though it doesn't sound as though you're familiar with the person, you know. I'm not criticizing anybody, but when I know somebody, I like to call them by their name. Jesus is my friend. He has endeavored to keep me going when everything else has failed. He is there. And that's where we need to be, in a position where we can say that. If we're not and we find problems, there are always loads of brothers and sisters around us that can encourage us, that can lift us up, that can lift us into that place where we see clearly again, because the devil blinds us with the things of this world. And this poor brother that we've spoken of this morning, I'm sorry that it's gone on, it may just put a blanket over the meeting a bit, but it has to be said. He's let the negativity get topside of him and it's blinded his sight. And what does the devil do? Smite the shepherd and scatter the flock. The first thing they do is hit the shepherd. Nobody has done more for this guy than John did. And that's always the way of being a shepherd. He's going to become a better shepherd as a result of that. But unfortunately, our brother has to deal with his problems. Otherwise, he's going to become a worse believer. That is the sad thing. That is the sad story about it all. Isaiah saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and as such can provide for our every need according to his riches in glory. On the day King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up, and his train, it filled the temple. Since the scriptures teach that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, does God fill your temple this morning? Did it fill him on the way in, or when you had some bad news that wrecked your life? What's more, is he high and lifted up? Or do you only call on him when you're in trouble? If you do, you're robbing yourself of building yourself a life of faith. I want to talk a little bit about a situation that I went through some years ago. In 1989, at that point in time, I was a coach driver, chucking buses up and down the M1. The big double-deckers that go to Scotland and back. And I got fed up with it. And I said to my wife, we've been praying for a year about what we should do. I started my own coach company. It was a major, major task to do. As you know, some of these things are £128,000 each. We prayed about it for over a year, got the witness to do it, we set it up. And I went out, I got a loan off the back of my house, double mortgaged my house, and then I got a loan off the back of it. Set up this business. And I got a school contract, I was doing school work, and I started doing tours. And things looked fine. And they were going great. Working quite well with the other operators in the town. We had a great time. And then, just after that, the mortgage rate went up about 10 times in a month. And in no time at all, I couldn't afford the payments. I wasn't getting the work in. The business collapsed. I lost my home. I lost everything. And all I had was my dear wife, who's always stood faithfully beside me. There's been times I have to tell you that I've been a prize prat, but she still stands alongside me, quietly praying, quietly going on in the background. But see, the Lord's right up there in her estimation. She sees Alan as he really is. But the business collapsed, and we were left with £58,000 worth of debt, and I'd lost my house. There was a major problem there. But whatever I've got a hold on God. And I knew God would deliver me from that, and he did. And I came out of that with a new house. And God had called me, told me he'd broken it up to prove me, to test me, and to tell me that he wanted me to go to Bible college. And I went to Bible college. I found the Bible college that I had to go to, and that was about 10 or 15 years ago. And I started learning, and when I first went to Bible college, I was, I'd never even done an essay in my life. When I went to school, they were called them compositions. And I was absolutely hopeless. And I started whinging at God and saying, well, you've called me. You know, I went to Bible college and told them that the Lord had told me to come to Bible college. He says, and how are you going to pay for this? And I said, well, the Lord's going to pay for it. And I couldn't get over the principal's position. He says, well, when he does, let us know. When he does, let us know. Man of faith, eh? Lovely, aren't they? They really help you. And I said, well, okay, I'll let you know. So we went away and we prayed. Do you know the interest on that debt was £600 a month before we lived? But God met every penny. And I never missed a payment. Never missed a payment. And at the end of the day, I went to Bible college. And I came out. We have a Bible reading every morning. The family never departs on a morning without having prayer time. And we lifted it to the Lord every morning. And we got to the last day when I had to go to college. And I said to the Lord, Lord, we haven't got any money yet. And it's getting very close. I've only got a couple of days before I start college. And I said, oh, well, we better ring the pastor and tell him, the principal, and tell him I can't come. So I went to pick the phone up. And as I went, the postman put the letter through the letterbox. So I hung the phone on the hook, and I decided to open the letter. And when I opened the letter, there was a check-in for a five-figure sum. It paid off all the debts, and it paid off all the debts, and left me with £3,000 for my first year at college.
Glory.
You see, we are not alone down here. We might feel it, and the enemy wants you to believe it. But Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he can lift your spirit and my spirit higher and higher than you can believe. But you have to believe that. And I went from that lowly position of being a complete dumbum to becoming an educated dumbum. And I worked my way up, and I've just been given my doctorate. So God is a wonderful God. He can take the lowliest of men, the weakest of men. Look at the men that he's drawn in the past. Look at the background to Moses. Look at the background to Gideon. Sat behind a door, scared stiff. God says, oh, mighty man of valor, and there he is hiding behind the door. Yeah. God can build your life up. He can make you what you are, but you have to see him in that light. You know, there's one of the things that lacks in ministry these days, especially in churches, is reverence. That's what I miss more than anything. People who revere the Lord, and people who come to meet with God with the impression that they want to meet with God. And it shows in everything, in their dress, in everything. They come to bring respect. These are things that I remember in my younger day that we don't see now. But we need to keep that reverence before God. We need to know that we're meeting with... And when we come in here, all right, we're meeting in a secular building, if you like. It's not what we might call a church, but we're the church. We're a holy people, called unto God. We've got a position in God that few have, and there are thousands out there that don't know what they're missing. But we have to shine so we can tell them. People need to understand exactly what is going on here. We have the truth, the word, and the light, and we have to live in that. Paul says this. He says, tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. And character makes us not ashamed. Sorry, character produces hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to press on. Step round the difficulties and press on. And Luke makes the point in the parable of the seeds, that the one that fell on good ground are those that, having heard the word, kept it and bore fruit. That's the important thing. They kept it and they bore much fruit with patience. You've got to be patient. You know, when I read in the Bible about Paul telling us we should run the race with patience, I thought, how do you run a race with patience? But as you get older in the Lord, you begin to see how you run the race with patience. You've got to be patient with God, because you've got to work to his agenda. He doesn't have to work to your agenda. You have to sit still and work with him. And he's giving you the central figure of his attention. Do you understand that? Each one of you, you're the central part of his attention. Even though there are lots of us, thousands of us all over the world, he is doting on you as though you were the only one. And as such, we need to sit and be patient and allow him to teach us. And he will teach us through circumstances. And where he can't talk to us about something, he will teach us through circumstances we go through every day. If we learn those lessons, we'll become the men and women of God we aspire to be and that he has called us to be. Remember, many battles make good soldiers. Why are the Black Watch over there? Because they're good soldiers. Good soldiers. And the more battle-hardy you become, the better soldier you become. And that's the truth in the gospel. And we're seeing days now like we've perhaps never seen on the earth before. We're seeing things that our young people need the example from us from. Because who's going to take the baton on? If we fail as adults, young people are going to see us fail. And as a result of that, they're not going to go on. They're going to say it's a waste of time. Look at him. He's flat. First time he gets a bump, he's off. We've got to stand tall. We've got to stand firm. And we've got to hold on to the robe like that lady did in the story in the Bible. She held on to Jesus' garment, looking for to be refreshed, looking to be touched. And God will meet every need that you have. The Lord bless you.